Hey members, welcome to April's Teach from the Heart audio lesson. I'm coming to you very early in the morning before the sun has even come up in order to be in a part of the house where it's peaceful and quiet and have our little chat together. It is a time, right? It is a time in Chicago right now. We've been home for just under 2 weeks under our shelter in place order. And while there are all the fears and all of the worries, and not to downplay any of them, some of the things that have come up over the past couple weeks have been in intense and grounded connection with many of you in our Facebook forum, as well as through sessions and in the open group coaching sessions that I've been running, as well as a grounded sense of connection in our house. Now, when I say grounded sense of connection, what I really mean is that when you get close to the ground, it's dirty, it's messy, it is not organized, it is not working through ideals. It is really the truth of the origins of relationships. And in order for anything to blossom, if I'm going to keep going with this metaphor, we've got to really acknowledge that getting down into the dirty mess, the uncomfortable elements of it, the awkwardness of this new experience that we're having is necessary. We've got to get underneath it to figure out what's going to come from it. And right now, so many of us, our clients, the world is being faced with unfelt feelings because we've never dealt with anything just like this, quite like this before. And so whatever has been dormant, whatever has been resting under layers of dirt in our lives, either realistic or metaphorical, is starting to emerge. And so what I'm sensing from our community and from the community in my neighborhood is a duality of irritation, as well as a sense of coming home. And I haven't quite made a judgment call surrounding whether or not the irritation is a true sense, the worry is true, or if it's something that we think we need to be feeling right now based on current circumstances, which is interesting. It's kind of a human experiment. My take on it is that we all have needed a big rest for a long time. And that's in no way to suggest that what's happening in the world is connected to karma or is a gift or anything of that nature. But I think there is this sense of having been overworked, overextended, over, in many ways, stimulated. And now we're being tasked with coming back home. And they say, that old saying, that home is where the heart is. And yet, I know in my family, we spend so much time placing our hearts out in the world to relate to others, to get jobs done, to make money, to be successful, to provide, that we've kind of forgotten where the heart actually lives in our house. And so, little by little, we've been uncovering all the mess. I mean, the literal mess. My house is trashed, but all of the mess. To come into this space where we say, oh, right, there we are. Oh, yeah, this is how we laugh together. This is how we work without an agenda. This is how we work with the rhythm of the day rather than a pre-imposed schedule of what needs to happen. And if we put the worries aside, financial, which I know are major for a lot of us, and future worries about our health or the health of our businesses or our work, if we can just place that on the shelf for just a moment, I think what we're beginning to see is that priorities shift quickly. We see the need for sleep. How many of you are sleeping more than ever before in your entire life? I'm actually a little frustrated with myself that I set an alarm this morning, but being here with you is very good. It's worth it. We're getting back to sleep. We're getting back to movement on our own terms, many of us. Although I also understand that many of you are also teaching online, so that's a whole other animal. We're getting back to seeing and recognizing the resources we have in our house, going back to old forms of connection, games, creativity, even watching movies. And we're learning with every day that goes by. We're learning that we are doing things that maybe seemed impossible last week or 2 weeks ago. We're learning that we have support from many of our clients, and I know that some of your clients are resistant to change, especially when that change has to do with technology. But remember to not only pay attention to the kid in class who's causing the problems, because they're probably acting out of a place of fear as well. Remember all of those others who are coming online for you and who are supporting you. I've heard so many stories of teachers receiving just blanketed donations from members of their community who aren't willing to go online, but who are willing to support the studio they love and the person or people who have been taking care of their body. In fact, my father has been such a vehement Pilates convert, of course not from me, but from Core Pilates in Hilton Head. Shout out to our members there. And my father takes classes regularly and has decided to support the studio by going online. And my mother, shrewd as she is, thought that maybe she could sneak in a Pilates class with him and he wouldn't let her take it unless she paid. So that's the kind of commitment that our people have to us in many ways. And I know that there are stories on the other end, and believe me, I've had them too in my own practice of people being extremely resistant to go online. And you know, it's going to come. There are going to be times where the support is overwhelming and abundant, and there are going to be times where we wonder if it's all worth it. And these are the times, I think, to remember our mantra, our affirmation for this month, which is, I am resilient. In my coaching groups this month, I've done a lot of talking surrounding the difference between adaptability and resilience. So we are currently adapting to anything that's stimulating us within our environment, be it sound, be it temperature, be it emotion. And our bodies are designed this way. They're designed to adapt so that we can keep going. They're designed to receive stimuli and signals that let us understand what we might need to do to keep us more safe. True to form, sometimes the choices for safety are in the health realm, and sometimes they're in the soothing realm. And the goal is to stay conscious so that our adaptations are realistic and help us keep going versus just help us kind of muffle out what might be happening in our minds or in the world for the moment. But nonetheless, we are adaptable, and that's going to happen with consciousness, without consciousness. Your body will adapt for better or for worse in some cases to different elements that happen in your life. But I believe the act of resilience is investing into the presence of mind that allows us to remember that we have choice. And those choices span and extend from choosing what we can eat, choosing how we can rest, choosing how we engage or disengage with others, choosing to set boundaries, choosing the thoughts that we have in our own brain and how we speak with ourselves. And I believe that resilience is maybe a practice that leads us to more grace with ourselves. And you've probably, if you've been watching anything on social media or attending any groups, you've probably heard me talk about this element of grace, which has become such an important one in my life. And I've spoken about it on these audio lessons before, where the grace in actual terms that I could define first showed up when I lost my dog Horatio. And I would see piles of clothing on the floor, and for a minute I would think it was him, and I would rush over to them inadvertently, unconsciously, without a thought, and then suddenly halt and remember that he wasn't with us anymore. And I would get angry at my mind for playing a trick on me. And I would start to be unkind with my inner dialogue and my thoughts. Why are you doing this? You know he's gone. Why do you keep putting yourself through this? And the truth is that, as I've mentioned, the grooves that that relationship embedded in my brain were so deep, 13 years deep. So the expectation that when he passed, he would just be gone was incorrect. And what I had to recognize was that it will take time to build new grooves, but the new grooves weren't going to be built in effort to eliminate the old ones, but rather to infuse them with loving memories and to have grace for myself when my brain defaulted back to something it had known for so long. And this element of grace comes up so powerfully for me at this time because we are essentially forging new grooves right now. And the ones that have always been the way that we've been doing our lives and teaching and moving and relating and interacting and gathering have suddenly shifted. And each morning I've been waking up with that familiar, okay, here we go. And then that new, oh, right, this is different. But this time, instead of beating myself up over the thoughts that I'm having or over what's going on in the world and the fact that I alone can't change it, I am practicing grace. Say, oh, right, this is different. Good morning, how are you? What do you need today? What's important for you? And it comes back to, as I've been preaching, the old basics: water, food, recently oxygen and sunlight, getting outside once a day, a movement practice of my own design, and sometimes completely out of my comfort zone so it can provide just a different stimulus to my body. Connection with my son, we've been going on walks twice a day. The second one is a Tootsie Pop walk, so we have something that's a little fun to look forward to. And when I ask myself what I need, it is a direct application of setting myself up for more resilience throughout the day. So when I ask myself, what do you need? And I would name those needs. And if I'm feeling it, going one step further and saying, if fear strikes, what will you do? What will you need to help yourself through it? When you have thoughts that are uncertain and fearful, how will you help yourself? And I'm not talking about any huge psychological meaningful exercises. I'm talking about sometimes the element of being a log, which is something I've spoken about in our Facebook group. And what this refers to is that a log cannot take action. It just has to lay there. And sometimes when we feel overwhelmed by what's happening in the world, we just have to lay there for a moment. Let it wave over us. Remember that we have choices. Engage into some basic need attendance, and then move forward. Now, I want to talk about something else that's been coming up a lot, and that is the element of the ego, the inner critic, the self-critic, the imposter, whoever you might relate to, that voice in your head that's a little bit doomsday, very critical, something that is holding you back right now. I was preparing for one of my calls the other day and I reached to grab a notebook and another book fell out and opened a bunch of loose leaf paper that I had written on. And this book was from work that I had done about 10 years ago with a beautiful teacher. Her name is Michelle McCall. And it was the beginnings of forging the work that I do today. It was my own work for certain. And I looked at all of these exercises that I had done and I remembered that in her work, the ego's name was the con artist. So an artist nonetheless, an element of your brain that can orchestrate all the reasons why you shouldn't go or why you should be afraid or why you're not good enough in vast colors and textures and mediums. But it doesn't do its art for good, as we know, those of us who have battled with our own con artists. Instead, it suggests things that are safe, that might feel safe or comfortable. And then kind of gives you a backhand when you go after them and doesn't allow you to move forward with grace or resilience or any of it, usually shrouded in some level of shame or regret. So we all have a con artist. We all have an ego. We all have that part in the mind that will definitely suggest some things that are not in service of our highest good or our best selves, if you will. But one of the elements of this notebook that popped out that seems so relevant was personal to me, and I just feel like it's so relevant to you, which is that there is a sense of driving an agenda for those of us who are used to being in some level of influence, power, control, leadership in our worlds. So for you, that might be in your family, it might be in your studio, it might be in your city or your town even. But there is this tendency that's happening with so many teachers right now to put their energy towards driving an agenda for the sake of what they believe is going to be helpful in their business and in their lives. So you could categorize driving an agenda under the realm of like pushing or obsessing or micromanaging or any of these behaviors that come into play. I know for me right now, the mess of the house is really beginning to trigger my con artist to the point where I want everything to be clean because I have a belief in my head that if it's clean, I will feel better, which is not necessarily the case. So the lesson of the con artist driving the agenda is that this is an external act that generally doesn't have a lot to do with your innermost needs, or in the case of your business, the needs of your clients. And I've seen so many teachers adopt a mindset of helper, which is where they naturally show up. And because this thing is so big and affecting so many of our clients, we feel like we should do something. And for some, that is offering an abundance of free classes. And for some of those people, it's doing those free classes at an expense to their business, believing that if they put free classes, they might be able to ease the pain of their clients' lives who are dealing with everything that we're dealing with right now. For others, it's launching an online format that has everything but the kitchen sink. And really overextending themselves in technology and offerings because they think that's what they need to do to make their clients feel better or to be relevant or to survive through any level of quarantine. And for others, it's hiding, not showing up at all, ducking our heads and waiting for it to blow over. And no matter what it is for you, the lesson is that when you are driving an agenda, that agenda rarely has anything to do with your highest needs and your best good. It usually has to do with some contrived belief that if you do more, you will have control. And so here are some things I want to offer to you, especially in this time. The first thing is that, again, your clients are going through their own personal journey with the current state of the world. And they are going to have to go through it. It is their destiny. It is their lesson just as much as it is ours. And we need to be cognizant of our intentions, that they fall realistically into the realm of movement and support and even friendship, but that we don't take on more in our world to try to solve a problem that isn't ours to solve. And wrapping our heads around this can be difficult, because when we're in the agenda or in the action of driving the agenda forward in the name of helping others, it can feel like we're making a difference. But I want to task you to really qualify what's needed to make the difference that you're intending to make. And for those teachers out there who will not be financially impacted by the current state of the world, I applaud their efforts to give free sessions and offerings, especially to the teachers who are working real hard right now in their businesses. But for some of us, it's not particularly realistic. And what I'm hearing again and again is that teachers are believing that if they offer their services for free, that their clients will stay with them for the long term. And in listening to those words, I think you can see the flaw in the logic. So while this is not a business talk, what I'd like to task you with is just taking inventory of what you're giving out into the world and what you're asking back from it, and whether those things are realistically in the realm of what you can offer, what your business requires of you to offer, and also what your clients want. Because some people, they just want to hide right now in their homes, or they want to rebel. Some people are not embracing this new wave of in-home health that we are currently piloting and promoting. And we've got to be realistic about not overextending ourselves with the belief that we can save everyone from this. We can do great things within the hours that we teach. We can offer a vacation from the mess and the headspace of everything that's happening. But it's not our job to fix it. And it's certainly not our jobs to sacrifice ourselves in the effort to make it better for someone else. And this sounds a little bit off, but this is the highest level of con artist dumb, which is ultimately assuming the realm of the martyr. And there's been a reason right now where I haven't been showing up so hardcore in the realm of teaching classes, and it's because that's not where I'm being called to at this moment. And I know if I start to extend myself and teach more classes and offer more online offerings, then I'm going to end up in a place of burnout that won't allow me to do what I am being called to right now, which is coaching, helping, and sharing. And so for us to be in this realm of resilience, it's really a matter of investigating our highest value at this point of time, whether it's from a really practical place that says, what is my best offering of my business? What is the most popular? What brings in the most people? What makes the most money? What is holding? What is the keystone? What's holding it together because it's such a strong offering? And invest into that throughout this time. And recognize that there will be peripheral offerings that are still pretty good, like my teaching, and they'll come up when they're called. So I have a prediction that a lot of the free offerings are going to slow down over the next few weeks because people are going to get tired. And fatigue is a natural aspect of pushing an agenda. And it's hard to keep going when you get tired, which is why I'm on the other side here saying, pace yourself, be realistic about what you can offer, allow yourself to exist in resilience, which is the ability to see and choose your next step. And remember that your real job in this moment is to continue to care for yourself so that you can show up for the clients who are showing up for you with the energy that you want to. Another thing that I want to say about this driving of the agenda is that while I am a huge supporter of right now everyone considering in broad strokes their next 3 months, how does it look to navigate over the next few months? How does it look to navigate back into your studio? What's working for you now and what can lend itself to insight about what might work for you even more in the future when you get back into your studio doors? And also, what hasn't been working for you for quite some time? And maybe what's the most opportune element that you can let go in your life and your work and your business? Now's the time, because the world is uncomfortable enough. You don't need to go back to that 6 a.m. Friday morning session that only shows up once every 3 weeks. It doesn't mean it. You don't need it. Oh my goodness. And just to keep breathing, right? To keep breathing. One of the things that is a major tool in dealing with your con artist is remembering that you know more about you than you do about them. It's like an immediate, it's like raid for the con artist cockroach. It's like, because when you are operating in a mindset that says, I'm going to fix this for everyone, or I'm going to give them something that they won't be able to say no to, or I'm going to do all these free classes because everybody else is doing them and I want my clients to know that I love them too. When you're in that mindset, you're not thinking from an educated place surrounding the full extent of what your clients are going through in their lives. Often in my business groups, we'll go through things like, what are your clients' dreams and what are their nightmares? Whether or not that has to do with movement. What are they dealing with? What are their frustrations on a daily basis? What are things they look forward to every single day? And then we play around with how our offerings can truly meet the needs of our clients in ways that can help lift them up and continue to support them. When we assume what our clients need, we are inviting the con artist in to start a hyper production of showing up. And again, there's always a fine line of this. So what I'm not saying is, I'm not saying to not show up, but what I am saying is show up with some information and show up understanding exactly how you can show up and how you can be effective in this time. And that in and of itself signifies a choice. I know a lot of you are tired right now because teaching online for more than 2 sessions in a row is tedious. between the demonstration and the screen staring and the creation of workouts with soup cans and mats and whatever else they might have laying around their house, it's all exhausting. I know for me, 3 sessions puts me out for a good number of hours. It's tiresome. It's a different energy. And recognizing that has allowed me to understand I can't see 4 online sessions in a row. It won't work. And so I'm not doing it. And that's okay. What I am now doing in terms of resilience is that we've had just about 2 weeks of insight into how this looks for our family. I've recognized that bopping back and forth from showing up in the mom role to the business owner role to the teacher role are all high energy output activities. So I'm working on rearranging some things and consolidating my schedule a little more to show myself grace because I am tired just like you. And there's a weight of fatigue that comes with an uncertain time in the world and history in our lives that adds to the fatigue. And instead of dropping into the con artist story that says, you don't have time to rest, you've got to keep going, you've got to save your business this Thursday, do it right now and don't stop and freak out at anybody who comes in your way. Instead of that, which is very present, by the way, it's in my head. Instead of that, I am saying, Jenna, what do you need? What would be helpful? When you get into a funky place of the day, what are you going to do? Drink water, move, get outside, breathe, rest, sleep. This act of resilience is actually that. It's a practice. And I believe that we have the space and time to put it into play right now and to let it be imperfect. And I want to encourage you, those of you who jumped into the online game and went right into emergency strategy mode and are finding that after a few weeks it's not working out like you wanted it to, I want to encourage you to revise where you can. Use each new period as a time to revise and speak with your clients. Hey, this isn't working out so well for me. Can you move on to a Tuesday so I can spread my sessions out? Or hey, I think I need to go to bed earlier or wake up earlier, or I really need a few minutes of quiet time throughout the day to your family. And own that and claim it and take it and be unapologetic for it because you are the most important part at this moment in helping serve the roles that you exist in your life. And I'm going to keep saying that to all of you because I truly believe it is an important reconciliation to remind ourselves that we are resilient and that we can choose to support our resilience every single day, even through very tough times. This month's affirmation is an internal battle cry of sorts. If you've ever seen the movie Fried Green Tomatoes, where they say Tawanda in honor of an African queen warrior whenever they're going into a tough situation, right now it's that kind of energy internally or externally. Scream if you need to or want to. I support you. But right now it's, I am resilient. I can do this. I can do this day. I can do this morning. I can do this audio lesson. I am resilient. I will make it through. Everything will not end in one day. Space does exist, and more of it exists when we are supporting ourselves. this month's movement session, it's a little bit of a hot mess. It's all about balance. It's all about standing. It's all about losing your balance and getting back on track and finding new ways of moving your body where it's awkward, but also full of opportunities for discovery. And I recorded the class before we went into our quarantine or shelter in place, just in case. And what came out of it was this imperfect movement experience that I think just kind of signifies the other side of everything that many of us are trying to create in our lives and our businesses. So I want to encourage you to be free with it. I want to encourage you to be just unapologetic in the way that you fall over or lose your balance or get back on balance. I want you to laugh. I want you to have fun. I want you to give yourself a break. And I want you to make sure that you're checking in with yourself regularly. Truly, truly, truly. Now more than ever is the time to honor who you are, to have grace with your thoughts and your mindsets and things that are not in your control, and to practice resilience by attending to your needs and making very strategic choices about what you can give right now. I am so honored that all of you are here in this community with me. I'm honored to be a voice, hopefully of reason and humor. I'm honored to be amongst our community that is so well-intentioned in all ways, at all times. We want to save everyone. You can do it for an hour, but then make sure you rest and drink some water afterwards. Oh, I love you all. We are in this together. I will see you in the Facebook group. Keep going. Keep going. You have not come this far to have only come this far. And what is happening in the mess and the dirt and the uncertainty and the unknown of what we're going through right now will lead to fortitude, will lead to resilience, will lead to a next step of saying, actually, I can do this. And here's how I'm going to do it. And here's how I am going to live my life. You are resilient. I believe in you. And thank you also for believing in me. I will see you in our Facebook group. And I'll be back next month with a new part of our adventure, because that's what it is right now, friends. Uncharted territory, but we can do this. We're in it together, and we can do it. Big love to you.